So welcome to Fredel Cushman for the interview for the book that has the working title, Yoga Radicals, Inspiring Stories from Pioneers in the Field. And before we center and co-create some sacred space together, I just wanted to introduce this five-point model. It's in the shape of a star, Fredel. And this comes from the Presencing Institute, which is a global community of change makers based in awareness-based change. And this quality of being present and then being able to sense into the emerging future is what we're tracking so that we can co-evolve, moving from me to we, moving from ego consciousness to eco-consciousness. So the shape of this prototyping model is really landing on six core principles and practices, mostly with the assumption that the future first shows up in our feelings, and that as we begin to learn to link the intelligences of the head, the heart, and the will, that we begin to enable a new attention to begin to see, sense, and feel a quality of energy that has everything to do with the intention of the future, something emerging from the future that we begin to connect with. And as we align and crystallize the vision of this intention, be it fragmented, little itty bitty part of it, not completely whole, we continue to consider the universe a really helpful place so that we can listen in to the guidance from the universe, both inside and outside. And so when that begins to happen in a person, we begin to energize or magnetize or manifest this quality of what we call a field of possibility, right? And then other people kind of come in. We call those the core teams. So vision, this energizing of this creative, co-creative space, this co-evolutionary space. And then we find places to iterate, to experiment. We call them the landing strips of the future. And this is where it's really safe to experiment, to fail fast, to say, oh, this isn't working, I better try something else. Maybe I need another person who's got different skills on the team, different resources. So as the seeding, right, of these new initiatives begin to find their ways through time and space, we adapt by creating, learning by doing type of experiences, right? This ability just to, oh, I better try this now. And so that iterating quality, while we listen to the universe, we're with places and spaces, it's about allowing this eco-awareness to move to the foreground. And that collective intelligence that links the head, the heart, and the will, this kind of enabling action, right, gives us a capacity to be in a continuous feedback loop so that as we evolve and shape the ideas through a continuous personal practice, right, that's the whole point of interviewing the yogis, that we actually might find a way to listen to the collective intelligence with people. And then something happens, be it a research project like Daniello down in Brazil, or like a school, the way Amy Weintraub created her school of Life Force Yoga, the way that the Phoenix Rising folks adapted the Kripalu materials into their Phoenix Rising. And Shirley Tellis, Marlissa Sullivan, who are doing these, you know, other researchy type things. So for you, this is about coming into an embodied awareness about how you know yourself and how your words will help inspire others. Okay? Make sense?
It makes sense.
So let's just get in. And what I mean by that is, however you ground and center to this incredible generative field of possibility, this amazing time on the planet, and just allowing this ground to invite this spacious awareness so that your guides, your angels, all of those sources of inspiration can come and be with you, be with us, be with the readers, the listeners. And I invite you to add any words of your own, just so that once we get present together, that we can get some of your voice in here too.
I feel safe with you. And I feel aware of my inner experiences in this moment. And I feel aware of my surroundings. And I feel aware that I should ask my partner to close the bedroom door. So I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm here.
Good. Good. You know, we're surrounded by so much these days. My partner and I live together too, and his office is way downstairs. Mine is upstairs. So we can still hear each other. And sometimes we have to go up or down and say, hey. So I'm looking at just what it was that was brought to my attention about your project, and it might be useful. Here it is: compassionate kindness, LA homelessness, structural and systemic issues. That's what I was given as part of what your area of focus was. So I just wanted to name that in the front end here so that people can have at least an idea. But I'd like to use the same series of questions so that as we anchor in this moving to we nexus space, Lauren Roche told me, he said, Allie, you're just doing a yantra. So just let people land in their matrix and, you know, be present with it so that we feel the support, right? So I just thought I'd share that with you. Yeah. So I'm getting a groove on your energy field. So I'm really happy to meet you. It's fun, isn't it, to connect this way? It's crazy. Anyway, so here's the first question. So this is about the initiation. And sometimes I like to just call it the invocation part of the interview. And the question is, how did your inspiration arise, Friedel? What did you think? What did you feel? And what did you sense? Can you remember where it came from, what the source was?
Yeah, I can remember that. That's a very helpful question also. It's a very non-threatening question. My experience is that I live with a lot of hallucinations and what I commonly refer to as mental health challenges, but they take the shape of hallucinations and voices and things that it's taken me a very long time to learn how to live with them. and to be functional in society with them. And I also come from a background with complex trauma from birth. And I feel that the way I exist in the world now has emerged from my own experience in suffering and then witnessing the suffering in my environment and seeking the cessation of all suffering for myself and for everyone connected.
Thank you. So this seeking that has arisen from your own experience is what I'm hearing. And so we just want to welcome it all as this time of Corona gives us a chance to shift our attention toward that which is productive and useful for us and for others. That's this moving from me to we space. You just spoke into it beautifully. Thank you. And so this connection to this quality of seeking, maybe that's how I sense it now, enabled something to arise in you, right? This desire to help alleviate the suffering, self and other. And so as your vision from this intention began to open a little bit more fully, right, in your own awareness and in the way in which you managed your environment, your days, your nights, your weeks, your months, your years, your feet on the ground, staying upright. The question is, how did you get help to clarify and to refine so that your initiation became a co-initiation, that others were also involved? How did that work, that others came into your life for these projects, I'm assuming, that you'll be able to tell us about, you helped birth?
That's also a helpful question. Hopefully my words are translatable. My experience has been in suffering and in my own hallucinations. My hallucinations tend to only thing that I'm able to do is identify with the suffering of other people. And that's largely or entirely shaped the way that I exist. I apologize that I get a bit dissociative and then forget the question you asked, and that just happened right now.
Right. So I heard you start off with talking about the suffering of the earth, the suffering of yourself, and then the suffering of others.
Yeah.
So I back into focus and to invite the expansion of your attention to feel safe to swim in this conversation in between all of the energy and information that's flowing. And just to remember that we have co-created a container here so that you can bounce in and out however it feels comfortable to you.
Oh, that's helpful too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is about liberation, remember? This whole thing. And we came in with these bodies that sometimes don't know how to hold all of the energy, right? And so once we do land, remember, so this question is about landing in your intention as an initiatory quality, right? This desire to help relieve the suffering of others as you educate and entertain your own way of playing your game, let's call it, of life. And so the question relates to how did other people get involved with you? And what ended up happening as other people started getting involved? What did you guys do together?
I see. Well, I felt very compelled to spend my time in the Skid Row community here in Los Angeles. And Skid Row here is, a lot of people call it like the nation's homelessness capital. But basically, there's about 5,000 people in the community. Most people are Black, and most people are living on the street. I felt very compelled to spend as much time there as I could. So I was just going there every day for 5 or 6 hours a day and trying to make friends and integrate into the community there at the street level. And after some years of doing that, I think that people around me that were outside of the Skid Row community felt like they could also see the suffering, and they wanted to be present for that suffering too, in a helpful way.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I'm imagining that those years, those many hours, time in, you know, we call it in leadership development, gave you some real hardcore information that must have landed in other people's awareness. And I'm wondering what that might be, if you could describe that.
Yeah, I think some of the primary features that come up at this question are the impacts of systemic racism, the current very alive manifestation of disregard for life, and like a systemic violence also, and the kind of like a preoccupation with personal comfort at the expense of another person's, not even comfort, like life, or, you know, homeostasis.
Right. So this structural inequity I hear you referring to, and just so that our readers know, we're talking together after the Minneapolis tragedy and many protests across the country around the very untimely death of a person of color by police brutality. So I just want to name that. And if what is now becoming so visible around this inequity cradle, I'm wondering, as you began to help steward your heart's desire to help, and as people must have felt something from you as well, what did you notice awaken in them so that a project emerged?
That's a really interesting question. I think that something that I've noticed a lot emerge in other people in connection with the need, the unmet needs of not just the Skid Row community, but, you know, all communities that have been systemically taken out. I've witnessed like a really clear emanation of like wanting to be present for it. Not that they're able to be present for it yet, but there's a lot of clarity around their desire to be present for it.
Thank you. So I like to call that liminal moment or the threshold moment where the felt sense of something is prior to any kind of action, right? These are these ways in which our capacity to sense into the field, right? This is what we're speaking about now, that changes one's personal actions and begins to reflect a social need. That's one of the essential elements of moving from me to we consciousness. And so if it's true that we're kind of tickling out, I think of little baby foxes in moments like this. I've had encounters with baby foxes, and you know, if their mama isn't clear about needing to protect them, they're very curious. And so when we really enable this quality of curiosity and we stay with the what is emerging, even though it might not be an idea yet, right? You were speaking and you put your hand on your heart. And when these guiding qualities of inspiration begin to move through the personal body, right? This is part of what we talk about in social presencing. There's a social body that begins to pick up, as you were saying, this desire. It might not be an action yet, but we're in that in-between space. And so I'm still curious of when you felt that from others, what did you do to further cultivate and refine some actions that you might do together with others?
In all honesty, I don't perceive myself as working very effectively or efficiently with others. I experience myself to be very single-pointedly focused on the depth of unmet need rather than being focused on helping other people not in the depth of the unmet need in their growth process. And I recognize that they're not mutually exclusive, but it's more of a matter of my, you know, human limited capacities that I believe in. So that question's a little more difficult to answer, but generally speaking, I mean, I try to share as much information as possible. Like, I guess, you know, using social media and also, you know, with direct communications with people.
Okay.
Information sharing.
Okay, great. So I'm hearing you say that it's not like you have a group of people that you're offering services through or with.
I experience myself as like working with everyone connected to me, and there's a lot of people in local government. There's a lot of people that are working with me and with my organization. There's a lot of people in like residents and just in the community residents and other organizations. And so I do experience myself as working with everyone in that way, regarding like the rendering of services. The organization and myself, we've gone through phases where in the first year of operating, rendering services was really just a group of us. I think there was four of us, three or four, Wayne, but three or four of us going into the Skid Row community every day for a year and a half and just integrating in the community. And that was the rendering service. I don't like to say it that way because really it's an inner growth experience for me and for, you know, everyone. And it's really like meeting people as humans and then seeing in clarity their circumstance and like being able to reflect in clarity to them, like that they're like, that someone like me has an intention for their well-being and has an intention for their healing and for their health and their benefit. And that itself like is sometimes a very rare experience for people that have been chronically homeless. So like, and then after a year and a half of kind of just doing that, then we started running pilot programs for about a year. And then we had another phase of only attending government meetings for about a year, like every day. And now we're in another phase now of building out a pain care clinic, which we're not rendering services yet because we're still building out the infrastructure. But that'll be coming in the next several months.
Okay, great. Thank you. So these shared cares is what I hear you referring to. That's kind of a term we use in generative leadership worlds. And even though this evolution of your project has this natural kind of organic quality, those learning journeys, I'm assuming, were able to crystallize your vision and intention. I'm hearing you speak pretty clearly about these things that you did. Yeah. And so that's all that I was trying to hear about and help others also learn from you about what were those next steps that happened. So thank you for that. And so this learning by doing, right? Remember talking about that at the beginning, or at least I spoke about it. This shifting and adapting, going to government meetings now. If you could spend a little time just informing us, telling the readers what it was that began to happen in the communities. I know you're planning this pain clinic, but in those early times, remember this is a book about yoga pioneers. Can you talk to us about what the yoga inspiration was and what was flowing through you by way of inspiration from yoga-based practices?
I think that it's possible that I have a different experience of yoga, or maybe I talk about it differently than is common. My experience of yoga has been cultivating the ability to see myself and my circumstances and my surroundings in clarity. And I think that having, in my own healing process from a lot of complex trauma, cultivating clarity by growing comfort to sit with my inner experiences. And that's helped me to gain clarity. And then with that clarity, cultivating agency. And that's, for me, that's kind of very much like the yoga for me is, I know I'm repeating myself now, but having clarity about what's going on, about what happened, and about what's now, and then being capable to move in accordance with my own agency. And that's very much my yoga.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So I'm sitting here and I'm really curious about your experience of what is your own agency. Can you help us understand that?
Holy moly, what a question. yeah, what is my own agency? I think it's very much, I think that agency is, for me, is being who I want to be. And I think that there, you know, in my life, there's been a lot of structural and otherwise barriers around being who I want to be. And I know the same is true for people experiencing homelessness, and not just homelessness, but people experiencing all of the social epidemics resulting from systemic violence. So I know that that's a shared experience, not having the resources, or not having a combination of not having resources, not having clarity, and not having the relational support to be who you want to be. And I lost what the question you asked was. That was part of my answer to it.
Yes, no, I was experiencing you move in between what I would call the collective awareness of we, and then matching it with your personal experience of your me. And that if the question is, how do you experience your own agency? The whole combination of moving from me to we, as you so perfectly are embodying in this interview, is a dance of integration between the collective trauma and the personal integration, so that something new can actually happen. And so if that's actually what we're massaging in our shared space now, then the readers love to hear, right? These are authentic leadership questions. What are the qualities, right? If you were to look around the corner at yourself that you embody as you do that dance of me to we.
Wow. I learned this from my trauma therapist, and what I'm about to say, and I think that this answer is exactly what answers. I think those qualities are clarity and agency and love. And the more that I've been exploring those for myself over time, they've been very helpful, both in helping myself and in being able to see others.
So this seeing and sensing and feeling, these qualities of a more embodied awareness, is what I hear you also describing. And you might already know about this person who talks about this distinction that you started with, the structural violence. And Dana Cunningham at the MIT Presencing Institute community has invited our global community to consider, what if there were structural love? And so if in fact these care and compassionate practices of the intelligence of the heart begin to find ways to blend with the intelligence of the head, right? Then, as you were mentioning, this agency, we call it confident action, begins to be the container in which we rest, so that, just like you spoke about, remember the fox metaphor, people start coming out of the forest. They come out from hiding and they stop being invisible. And so these practices of exploration and embedding action from a basis of personal practice, right? Because remember, this is this moving to we question. Can you speak a little bit about your daily practices that help you sustain this quality of age?
I love that question. So yoga, and not just yoga, all, you know, practices, but I'll talk about yoga. As I've learned it and as it's been taught to me, has been largely inaccessible for me to practice because I don't know how to be safe with period. So I've been cultivating a practice the past year. It's now my yoga practice. It's a combination of creating a safe inner space, which is a space that I'm able to identify as somewhere that I feel protected, and I have a lot of markers there that I like. I place these markers, you know, different things, and I tour around the place and I look at the markers because all the markers mean something different about truth and reality and my reality. And once I'm in that safe space and I've toured all the markers, then I have a Tonglen practice of taking and giving, where I sit in my clarity and I investigate the site of my own injury, my own programming from my trauma history. And I see that in clarity, and I move back and forth between experiencing the injury itself and then experiencing the investigation of the injury and then having compassion and sadness for the part of myself that is still experiencing that injury. And then I rinse that and I repeat that. And that's been my inner practice. I'm also adopting outer practices of keeping hydrated and preparing food and hygiene, which is also historically impossible for me. So yeah, that's my practice now.
I know it's hard for many to remember these inside outside nourishment practices. And if it's true that these cultivation practices from the wisdom traditions, right, begin to enable this quality of moving very gently between and among all of these very disruptive energies that are flying around the planet these days, based upon experience of self, but also, as you mentioned at the beginning, this quality of extension into the collective intelligence, into this social field, and learning which is which is a big piece of the impact of stabilizing the body-mind system through practice. So I am so grateful to hear about your practices. So let's just take a moment to... I'm just being called, Friedel, to just take a moment to witness, I'll just call it the impact, right, of how you've decided to land. And that consciousness in you, that wisdom self in you. It's like in many of my teachers, I had a bunch of orthopedic things that I had to deal with, learned to walk again a few times. And the esoteric way in which I was able to land in my legs, and the way that the Sufis like to say, it's important to stay standing in front of the beloved, right? And so this thing about the vertical awareness that yogis teach us, this bridge between heaven and earth. But as you were so beautifully describing, this more horizontal awareness into the field around us provides us an opportunity to share the gifts of having stood in front of the beloved, whatever those challenges of standing in front of the beloved might be by way of personal experience, right? And so if that's what begins to activate and energize yoga radicals, right? It's kind of like a play on free radicals, that this consciousness that begins to move through us begins to feel like the expectation of living and that this is the life. And so as we kind of begin to wind down now in the interview process here, a few things that others have offered up in the interview process was this question of what do you see happening in the future of having followed your heart's desire through all these years of doing what you're doing? And if there was a sutra, a text, or a story that particularly enables that, you know, by way of metaphor, feel free to use that if it wasn't something that you can see into the future. So two parts, what's happened from the future and what were those grounding stories or texts or transmissions?
Into the future, two things that you see: the cessation of suffering for all beings everywhere. And that manifested in part by ethical structures. And a text that I really like is Shanti Deva says, "May all beings experience physical comfort and mental joy."
Thank you. And is there anything else? One of the questions that I sometimes like to ask is, what has surprised you during your journey?
I think what surprised me has been that, and this is largely in having a lot of friends that are experiencing chronic homelessness, that a person's system knows what it needs for healing and for wellness. And the last thing that they usually need is an outside person coming in and telling them what they need. That was surprising to me. That was surprising.
Wow. I lived in New York during the time of Runaway, Liz Swados's Broadway show about runaway youth. I don't know if you've learned about it. And I worked on the streets for many years myself as a mobile crisis mental health clinician and was a first responder to the 9/11 disaster through FEMA, you know, the Federal Emergency Management. And this question of homelessness, and I had a college roommate, Ellen Baxter, who's still very well known in the homeless movement, more in New York. She still operates a home. People want to do what they want to do. And they don't want to have a container around them when things are shifting. And so could you, actually, this is important, I would believe, for our readers. What are the ethical issues that you've had to help people who want to help bring them into a home deal with when working with the homeless?
Well, I mean, what emerges for me immediately is the issue of agency and the issue of honoring and cherishing another being, another being's wishes, whatever shape they take. And I think that, you know, moving into a home, while that is essential for, you know, everyone, I believe that a really large component of the healing comes from restoration of agency, when all resources and supports for exercising agency have been removed. I think that ethical issues come from placing further limitations on a person's experience of exercising agency, and that can take many, many different shapes.
So from your personal experience of productive choice making, let's call it, right? You spoke about it in your Tonglen practice and how you work with people. You just spoke about it a little bit around the homeless folks who choose to be homeless because of whatever. Could you just put a link, if you could? This is my curiosity, how it relates to structural violence.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime that we perceive that someone is choosing homelessness, that choice that we're perceiving was not a choice. And that resulted from, or is continuing to result from, an experience of structural violence or systemic violence. Whether it's harmful relationships within the new environment that the person might be transitioning into, or usually it's things of this nature, that there's something harmful that someone is trying to avoid, and that being in the familiar territory where one is familiar with how they're going to live their life and how they're going to meet their own needs is a much more preferable option over experiencing a brand new harmful circumstance.
So I just want to energize the space of how people wish to meet their life. You spoke that would be the honoring of anybody, no matter if they were homeless or not. And the qualities that you're bringing into systems change work, Cradle, must be eye-opening for some of the people who listen to you. And so if you could tell this a brief story about an interaction with someone in the, let's say, the government system or in the municipal system, or, you know, when you had to meet a big power, let's call it, and what helped you help the folks who you wish to help.
There's certainly a lot to be said for communicating in government spaces from an intention of benefiting others, all others, and speaking through a spiritual lens in government settings is necessary, and naming harm in the moment is necessary. And every time that I've done that, or I've witnessed countless of my friends doing that. It's deeply beneficial for everyone involved.
Thank you, Fredel, for speaking from your truth and the groundedness with which your truth emerges.
Ooh, grounded, that's a new one for me. So thank you for the reflection.
Well, so what's coming to me these days, somehow we're watering the roots of these systemically transformative intentions, right? And so if you're a tree that's learning to root and branching out, then this hydration, right? It's no accident. The roots are wanting to deepen. And so as you do your work and it releases, doesn't it feel like it's just getting spacious so that you can root even more?
I'm only just feeling that now, and it is a wonderful visual. It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching it kind of work into your nervous system, you know, as you begin again and again to pull your awareness in, and then it comes out in your expression. And then I get to see, because of where I come from, that you're actually landing even more in. And guess what? That's going to help in those settings where you need to get resources and the whatever is going to happen next. So isn't it nice to know that space is opening up for change? I guess that's all I'll end with. And that as we learn to work together with these conscious qualities of agency, that we learn to actually expand the reach of our agency. That's what I meant about the branching. And so, yeah, may your tree continue to grow. Make a forest and water it well. I have enjoyed so much our connection today. And I just want to just take a moment of quiet just to let it land in the space. And to, I guess, invite in any other guides and helpers who've heard today so that these dreams, these songs begin to open our awareness on the planet even more. Well-being wishes to you.
Thank you, Allie. My tree roots are holding hands with your tree roots and sending you some nutrients.
Thank you so much. Once this gets transcribed, I'll send it to you. And please take your time, feel whatever you need to feel to put it into form. And if it would help you for me to send you those questions so that you could get the structure of the interview, would you like that? Okay. So, and then you can listen. You can read and then also then look, just so it has some consistency with the others. That's all. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Okay. Take it easy, girl. Don't work too hard. Bye-bye. Thank you.